I'm just a podcaster, a blogger, soon to be a published author. I am the fiery redhead from the podcast, Wide Open Spaces with Elise. This is Wide Open Spaces with Elise, a podcast. You can listen to this podcast anywhere you love listening to your favorite podcast. Go to wideopenspaceswithelise.com. Elise spells I-L-I-S-E. This is episode number 152. How do you connect with nature? Now let's pop in our earbuds and let's evolve together. In the month of April, we just celebrated Earth Day. And I thought I would see a lot on social media about Earth Day, you know, with climate change and everything. But I really didn't, and it was kind of disappointing. I did flood my social media with reminders of Earth Day and keeping things green and taking care of our Earth, Mother Nature, who nurtures us and supports us. And we should support her and nurture her just the same. So when I sit outside a lot, I always bring my dog with me. And she's sitting on the couch right next to me as I record this podcast. And when we go outside, it's her favorite thing to do. I mean, what dog wouldn't love going outside? And I always get myself comfortable in my favorite chair in the shade. And whether I'm writing my blog or reading a book or working on social media, after she plays a little bit, it's hot here in South Florida, and she could lay on the cooler deck, but instead she always chooses to lay in the grass. Now, there's a whole bunch of science of why dogs lay in the grass. If another animal has been there, they want to get the smell of that animal on their fur. But here, the grass is kind of cool, especially in the early hours. And when I see her finding that special place on the grass each day that I take her out, I wonder, why does she choose the grass? It's not about the smell of the animals or that the grass might be a little cooler. It's that she's being one with nature. She's part of nature. And so when she sits with nature and allows the grass and the soil and the earth beneath her to support her, she's getting an energy. She's getting effect from nature. And that's why the title of this podcast is, How Do You Connect with Nature? I'm sure it's not something that you readily think about. I mean, let's be honest. We live in a hustle and bustle world, right? Go, 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 go. We feel almost guilty when we sit on our asses too long, maybe going through social media, TikTok or Instagram, time to get to work, time to do things. Even in those quiet moments, our smartphones are in our hands, looking up things, Googling things. So we're always this society of constant motion. So nature really doesn't play a part. Yes, you may see nature as you walk to work each day or drive to work each day. Yes, you may have grass in your front yard or in your backyard, but you do it so it looks pretty, so you have a nice yard. But you forget about what nature really, truly is. And it's something to nurture us and to support us and to take care of us. The trees oxygenate the air. The bees go on the flowers and pollinate things so that we can have food. There's so much going on outside your doors of your home or your workplace. We just don't take enough time to immerse ourselves in. Now, there's three types of therapy that I'm going to talk with you about today. As a recreational therapist, when I worked in mental health facilities, one of my big responsibilities was to get my clients or patients outside every day. They were inside a lot, seeing their doctors, getting treatment, therapy groups. My job was to incorporate leisure as a coping mechanism for them. And a great form of leisure is to go outside, and they always needed it. And when you deal with people who have mental health issues, there's the gamut. There's minor symptoms to extreme symptoms. They're trying to get adjusted maybe to their medications, dealing with grief and tragedy. And as their therapist, when I would take them either outside by the facility or take them to the park or to the beach, yes, we would take our clients out of the facility to do these things, to show them the effects of incorporating healthy coping mechanisms into their lifestyle, the benefits. And as their therapist, I could see the change take over. What they were like when we left the facility, on the transportation, getting to our location, spending time there, watching them go through a process of slowing down, seeing what in each individual client chose to do in that environment. And let me tell you, when we left there and the ride back to the facility, it was a completely different group of people, because their time in nature was their form of therapy for that day. Now, we have forest bathing as a therapy. We have nature therapy. We have tree therapy. And believe it or not, scientists have been able to identify that if you do not spend at least 2 hours, 120 minutes a week, submersing yourself in nature, you will experience nature deficit disorder. Now, I don't know about you. None of us like to have a disorder. Some of it's out of our control. But if I can avoid having nature deficit disorder, well, I'm going to do everything in my power to prevent that. And I want you to think about that for a moment. How do you connect with nature? Tree therapy. What actually is that? Have you ever heard of a tree hugger? I know you have. And you probably said to yourself, what the heck does somebody want to get all dirty, get up close and personal with a tree? Well, tree therapy is spending time with trees. And I guess if you're a tree hugger, you could fall into that category. Not many people out there are tree huggers. Why? It sounds weird. People might look at you oddly. It's just something different to do. And as humans, we kind of sway away from the different and stick with the norm, what everybody else does. When I was in San Francisco years ago, we went and visited the National Park in Muir Woods, where you have the redwood forest. And they call these trees giants. And really, you can't even, I can't even paint a good enough picture for you to explain how massively large these trees are. And that's why they're called giants. And it's quite insane. So when you go to an area that has trees, doesn't have to be redwoods, it can be palm trees, it can be fern trees, it can be pine trees, it can be any type of tree to be near. And that's what tree therapy is. And so I guess the tree hugger kind of falls into that category. So if you maybe want to try it, the act of tree hugging is to go up to a tree, put your arms around it as much as you can, and put your cheek up to the tree. And to begin to notice the changes that you're experiencing physically and emotionally. Let's move on to forest bathing. Forest bathing is spending enough time with a group of trees, a forest, a clump of trees. But it's not just casually walking through, it's slowly walking through. It's looking at the environment around you. It's taking everything that this forest or this group of trees has to offer you. And this is where the term forest bathing came to life. I mean, what's sunbathing? You go outside, you make sure there's no shade if you're gonna sunbathe. Please put sunscreen on. Don't sunbathe too long. It can be very dangerous to your skin. I am one of those people who have been affected by it. So I have to put that little PSA in there. But sunbathing is going out and spending time under the sun. And so forest bathing is the same exact concept. Now, according to National Geographic, this is how the term forest bathing evolved. The Japanese quickly embraced this form of ecotherapy. In the 1990s, researchers began studying the philosophical benefits of forest bathing, providing the science support of what innately we know, time spent immersed in nature is good for us. While Japan is credited with this term, it's Shinorin Yoku, that's what forest bathing is in Japanese. The concept of this heart of this practice is not new. Many cultures have long recognized the importance of natural world to human health. So in these scientific studies, after having people spend time, various amounts of time, they came to a consensus that about 2 hours a week could give you 5 days worth of the effects that you could experience while being in tree therapy or forest bathing or nature therapy. Now, nature therapy is spending some time other than, let's say, the forest or with trees. Maybe it's sitting on a sandy beach just watching the ocean flow. Maybe you have a little creek in your neighborhood that you can go sit on a rock and just listen to the creek. So that is nature therapy. So if you don't live near a forest or someplace that has a lot of trees, there's somewhere in your environment that is some form, whether it is natural or man-made nature, it is still nature. So I don't want you to get stuck in your head if you live in a city and all there really is a lot of man-made nature. It is still nature and you still will get the effects that nature can provide for you. So let's talk about the scientists say you need to spend at least 2 hours. In those increments, however you break up those 120 minutes, you really should spend in each time you spend in nature 20 minutes. Anything you do, 20 to 30 minutes is really where you start to get the true effects of anything that you do in relaxation, in meditation, etc. So here's some positive, wonderful, natural benefits you can get from forest bathing, tree therapy, nature therapy. Can lower your blood pressure, probably an obvious one to you, but it's a fact. It lowers your blood pressure because the time that you're spending in there helps calm your brain, slows your heart down, and your blood pressure begins to get more calm and lowered. It'll improve your mood. It'll be a stress reducer. It'll improve your immune system. Well, that's great, especially since we just went through a whole pandemic a couple years ago. It'd be great to have a boosted immune system. It increased your energy level. It decreases your anxiety. Your sleep patterns will improve. It'll decrease your symptoms of depression, improve your memory, which, gosh, as I get older, that's something important to me. It'll increase your lifespan. And this time that you spend in nature gives your brain a chance to relax. Relax. Scientists have even proven that if you know someone who suffers or has the disorder of ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, You'll hear a lot of kids being diagnosed with that, but adults as well. When they've spent this 2 hours worth, 120 minutes in nature, their focus levels have improved over time, especially right after they've spent time being immersed in nature. Just think about that for a minute. Attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. You can't sit still. You can't focus. It's hard to process things. Your thoughts go from one thing to the other very quickly. But by immersing yourself in a natural environment, it has been proven that the focus improves by nature. They've even done studies on people who have been recovering from surgery. They've recovered faster when they're in their respite time of recovering from whatever surgery they've had, and they spend time outside. They've recovered faster from nature. Something that is free, that costs no money. All it costs is your time. So I'll ask you again, how do you connect with nature? So let me refer back and take you on a little nature trip. When I mentioned in the beginning of this podcast that I visited years ago the Muir Woods in San Francisco to visit the giants, I really didn't know what to expect. I mean, you hear about these things, right? In the world, the Roman Colosseum, Machu Picchu, different places, Santorini, Greece, and you know from movies and things you picture in your mind what these places should look and feel like. I had no idea. And there is no way to have an idea unless you've actually been to a redwood forest before, what these giants are like. And so when I got there, for the moment, I really didn't realize what experience I was about to enter. Now, this experience was so impactful on me. Years later, it is still extremely vivid to me. And as I'm even telling you the story, I'm feeling more calm and at peace, revisiting this experience. And so I stand there, and there's a path that they encourage you to follow, obviously, to protect the trees, etc. And I walk on this path. And as I walk, I notice there's a smell, like you smell in any forest. The freshness, the earth, the leaves, the bark of the tree. And after walking a little, I stop and I just feel the need to look up at the sky to see how high the top of these giants go. And this vision can only be experienced, truly experienced in person, because they are so massively large. Not only do they go to heights that are unbelievable, but the width and the girth of their trunk is thick and so wide that when you do put your arms around it, you can never put your arms all the way around it. Maybe not even halfway around it. Some of these beautiful trees have the way that they've grown, have these natural little nooks that almost look like a little cave at the base of the tree. The trees, the forest, is alive. I almost felt a little guilty that I was disturbing these gentle giants as they swayed in the wind, as they grew up to the sun, as their roots grow deeper and deeper into the earth's soil. I felt guilty going up to one of them and touching the bark and disturbing it. But I could smell the bark. I could feel the roughness. I went up to the areas where they had these nooks, and it felt a little different around the opening. This is a redwood forest, and I began to walk further down the path, taking it all in, and now in a different way. From the moment I walked in, everything about me changed. I walked slower. My shoulders were relaxed. I didn't feel a stiffness in my neck. My hands weren't clenched. My speed was slower. And I began to listen to the surroundings more and all the different sounds that were surrounding me, almost like a snow globe. Kind of how I felt, like I was in this snow globe, this alternate type of reality. Now, the only sense that I didn't feel or experience in my five senses was taste. But if those trees had some type of fruit or something on it, well, then I would be open to it. Or a coconut. Drink some coconut milk. But in these redwood forests, there was no chance to tap into the sense of taste. And I walked and I walked, and gosh, did I walk. But then I could see in the distance that this path was coming to an end. Gosh, I didn't want it to end. And when my family was ready to go, I said, "You go ahead. I'm going to stay here for a few more minutes." It was almost like there was this invisible force not allowing me to leave. And what I believe that invisible force was not the trees, but their energy that my body experienced. And my brain was telling me it wanted more of this natural high. It wanted to remain immersed in this tree bathing. Because me standing there and taking it all in, that is the pinnacle of tree bathing. Now, of course, I'm sitting here and it's many years later, and eventually I had to walk that path outside of that park. But the memory is as clear as day. And the effects I still experience as I'm telling you this great memory of mine. So I want you to create these type of memories, these type of experiences. You don't have to go to the Muir Woods, but if you live in San Francisco, well, then you're really lucky because they're right there. But there's all kinds of parks that have different types of forests and trees. Maybe kind of make that a goal of yours to visit this summer different parks, different natural preserves, and delve into this nature therapy. Take it in, feel it, smell it, see it, hear it, taste it. You know, I hear a lot of times working in the psychiatric field where there are people who don't believe in medications, and that's your prerogative. Obviously, as a therapist, I believe that medication can do great help along with the work that you put into it. And some of us experience anxiety and stress, and we feel down at times. And so there's a natural therapy out there that you don't need a therapist like me to take you there. You don't need a prescription for it. You don't need to sit in someone's office and talk about your feelings. You can go sit with a tree and let it nurture you. Let it take care of you. Let it envelop you. Now, I know this all sounds kind of magical, right? Because it really is. And if you're thinking at this moment, she sounds kind of silly. She sounds kind of kooky. Then maybe you're just not open to it just yet. But tell me, any negative cons, excuses, why you shouldn't go try nature therapy. Bathe yourself in a forest. Sit under a tree. There are no reasons. And if you tell me it's time, that's on you. That's about scheduling what is important for your health, physically and emotionally. I mean, you're listening to a motivational podcast. So you're here to improve yourself. We're always evolving. If you're listening to this, well, you're listening and evolving with me. And I'm giving you something that may be something you've never heard of. Maybe you have and you've brushed it off, or you've just that old adage, I just don't have time. But if you're truly here listening and evolving with me, you're going to find time this weekend to do some nature therapy, to take care of yourself. I mean, Mother Nature's out there. She's Mother Nature. She's there to nurture us and take care of us and support us. We need to take care of her as well. And maybe you might want, it's starting to be spring in a lot of places, and for here it feels like summer already, but start your gardening. Nurture Mother Nature back. Do something, plant a tree. Plant flowers so that we can have those bees pollinating. I'm even sitting here right now and I took a pause for a second and the first thing I heard was a bird outside my window. But the bird was muffled because I'm indoors. Imagine how that bird would sound if I was outside. And maybe that bird starts talking to another bird and I focus on their conversation, the way they're communicating. I don't know what they're saying to each other. I don't know that I would want to know because it sounds beautiful. This back and forth, chirp, sing, whatever they do. It's right outside my window, but it's muffled. So I guess right after this podcast, you know where I'm going, outside. So I'm going to ask you one more time. How do you connect with nature? Something I want you to think about this week. I don't want to hear the excuse you don't have time. That's bullshit. Find the time. Find the time to take care of yourself, my friends. Because nobody will do it better than you can. And with a little help of Mother Nature. Thanks so much for joining me today at Wide Open Spaces with Elise. I know you don't want to have nature deficit disorder, so go out and explore all those wide open spaces in your world. Remember, positive thoughts always create positive energy. Check out some of my other podcasts. Go to my social media, hit that love button, follow me, and we will continue to take this ride together.